But if you'd like to turn to Psalm 145, I'll draw our attention this morning to verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. The title of the sermon is this: Passing on the Baton. Passing on the Baton. Well, apologies to those of you who are visiting us, perhaps for the first time. It's in a sense a little bit of a family occasion here at Christ Baptist Church, as this will be the last morning service that I, as the pastor of Christ Baptist Church, bring to you the Word of God. I don't let your groans be audible, but my name is in the diary for some future preaching dates here at Christ Baptist Church. Yes, I'm on good terms, actually, with the future pastor, and we're getting on fine in that way. But this morning, my last opportunity just to speak to us as the pastor of Christ Baptist Church. And I hope I'm not going to be too self-indulgent or weary you too much. Muse over long, as the hymn put it there, on the years that are past. Because remember the theme, it's passing on the baton. If it's a relay race and there is one generation shall praise your works to another, and declare to it God's mighty acts, then we have to recognize that we are part of something much, much bigger than any one of us, than of any one pastor or any one church officer or whoever that they might be, that the time is always there with us. We always feel the urgency. Do you not? Do you not feel time is short? That our days here on earth really are but few? Well, I promise you I won't be overly self-indulgent, but the various health conditions that I've had there, and some of you friends have seen these things at first hand and traveled with me over the years and been kind enough to pray for me. Well, had I looked back, say 2013, 2014, 15, I'd have wondered if I'd have had another day in the pastorate, let alone, well, post some surgery, approaching 9 years ago. Yeah, a further 9 years extension, life extension. But even so, glad of those days I have been, and the opportunity still in this particular way to serve God. I can remember lying on my bed on one occasion. I was rather greedy. I described it to somebody there. I was down with the neuralgia, so your pains in your face is an absolute paroxysms of pain. And I was stricken with vertigo. So I was having to lie on my bed absolutely rock solid still. To move would actually lead to some pretty nasty consequences. And thinking to myself, well, if I never preach another sermon, if I never again pay another pastoral visit, I am not more loved by God than I am at this particular moment. Because it's not about what we do. It's not about what we might feel we are doing that is meaningful towards the Lord. No, it's based upon the fact that we're sinners saved by grace. No more than that, no less than that. That Christ's blood accounts for us in all of our worthlessness and emptiness and fruitlessness. And we are loved of God. And that, I have to say, was a major, major consolation. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. It was a good lesson to learn there and then, and it's a good lesson to learn any one of us, anywhere, any time. But God graciously gave to me some more years yet. But the time comes to pass on the baton, to now commend, as it were, to the next generation, to see them prepared and ready. And well, in a relay race, every illustration breaks down at some point, doesn't it? That the fellow, the woman, whoever there has just passed on the baton in the relay race, they then sort of collapse in a crumpled heap and you forget them, they're gone. And it's the next person running strongly on. I don't know whether this particular passing on of the baton, that the person waiting for the baton to be given is thinking, when will this fellow end? How slow he is. What has he done for the last 24 years? The mess I'm going to have to clear up for him. I'm going to have to run double quick to finish his race. Well, I will leave that to his tender judgment on that. But no, it doesn't just end there, does it? And people talk about retirement. Well, I don't. And, you know, scrub the word out of your thinking and erase it. As I've said to people with a smile, and I think I've said it here in the pulpit, get your heads around this. No, it is a strategic spiritual resource redistribution. It's just using time, energy, health in some different ways. Other people's energy, time, health in different ways. For different reasons. Lots of reasons, actually, that all go into any decision that we make. And we're wise not to make quick decisions, rash decisions, intemperate decisions, spur-of-the-moment decisions, but to ponder. And I guess, just as entering the ministry is something to ponder, likewise sort of stepping away from the office, take some prayer and pondering. But that's where we have reached. My first heading, mission accomplished, with a question mark, put a question mark there. Mission accomplished. Is that there with me this morning as I stand before you good people? Mission accomplished. Have we sort of fully declared God's works to the next generation? Have we spoken? We, sounding a bit royal there, isn't it? Have I spoken God's mighty acts and declared them? Well, I'll give you the answer quick on that. Nowhere near. Have I done justice to this? Nowhere near. Nowhere near. This great gospel, this great savior, this great salvation. Can anybody get near to that? To say, job done. No, mission accomplished with that. You certainly won't hear that from my lips. I can't say, well, there we are. You'll see no more of me now. I'll be resting there in the back garden and dodging the rain. Our friends, they're getting blown away in their tents on the Thursday night, Friday morning, something like that. No, not quite. No, not quite. There isn't a sense of, satisfaction. That was all fulfilled. Mission accomplished there. I can look back, a fair few sermons preached, books of the Bible, if you've been here over that period of time, we've gone through. Others of you friends have joined us more recently, the last few years, and sort of joined the story at that point there. Well, you'll have heard something, but you sure won't have heard everything. A whole council of God proclaimed. I wonder, particular themes, have they all been addressed? I wonder, has there been the urgency? And the earnestness, has there been the fervency of spirit? I wonder. But the time comes, whatever the imperfections of the ministry and the minister, though all is not done. And the truth is, we lived, all of us, for another 300 years. I don't think in the end we'd feel very much different. No, it hasn't all been said. It hasn't all been done. And if there have been many words, well, what have the words accomplished? Where's been the Spirit of God? Where's been that power? And really, I ask, I'm sure, what many of us ask as we, in our own churches, pray for our own pastors, pray for the work. Where is the power? Where is the Holy Spirit sent from heaven? And we must so plead for that. I have to say, as I look out at a community which, we've been here nearly 24 years preaching, school assemblies, I could add to the list. We've not seen a lot for it, I have to say, friends. We have not seen much for it. I could try and content myself. Well, people might have gone away and great things might have happened. Well, maybe they did. But I've been here long enough now. Some of those people wanted to come back and tell me the leper returned to the Lord there and, great, grateful, a loud voice. Well, they haven't come back. Maybe they were out there. Maybe I'll find them one day. But I have no sense, actually. This community has much stirred. And that is a great, great sadness to me personally. So, no, we haven't evangelistically accomplished everything that certainly when I moved up here, and Timothy was a two-year-old, and Caroline and Charlotte was still in the womb at that point there, but we were only a few months here. Well, we knew that she was on the way and born there in what used to be Derby City Hospital. Ah, what we might have hoped to see, in our community. That has not been realized. And we've got to stand with our new pastor as he comes to carry on praying. Well, that's going to be my saying and heading in a minute there. I won't anticipate it too much, but to keep praying, to keep looking to the Lord, to open their eyes. We've seen too many funerals in this community. I've seen too many people that I've spoken to, and they've offered something, proffered a word of life to them, leaflet here, Bible there, and nothing I could see happened. Then I hear they're dead and they're gone, and oh, I hear that with a heavy heart and think what happened there. Maybe some indeed who even sat here, maybe came once and thought that was more than enough and never came again. But what became of them? And I can't say that I can feel in my soul, maybe they're in heaven. I fear they're not. I fear they're in hell. And that brings me no joy. That brings me no comfort. So the community, nope, that didn't really listen. Here within our own congregation, yes, we've been here, haven't we, friends? Some of us have been here all the way, all the near 24 years. Others of us have fewer than that. But well, we've been here, and we've sought to try to learn together, grow together, love one another together, seek together, pray this great God to exalt the name of his dear Son. If I just allow myself there a moment just to reflect, because, you know, we don't all just appear, what should we call ourselves, Reformed Baptist churches, match ready, oven ready, whatever term we want to be. But quite a few of us who are here, sat here, wouldn't have sat in a church like this 30 odd years or more ago. We're here now. And coming away from different things, Caroline, myself there, we've had to leave behind people, places, dear people. Dear places, but we had to leave because of what we saw happening there and find ourselves in safer, more secure, more biblical kind of environments. But have people out in the wider church listened much? I can think back, not many of you perhaps are aware of this, but you know, edited various magazines, came up here, I was quite busy with writing this, and writing that, and writing the other, really trying to get the Reformed Church just to wake up a bit, that there were things going on, things that were happening, and they just didn't seem to get it and see it. Still don't think, for a large part, many of the Reformed Churches really grasped actually how serious the problems are, both in society and in the wider church. And so, mission accomplished, not there either. Have I prayed enough for you good people, for community, nation, you other churches that are represented there? Not really. Have I done adequate sermon preparation? No, not really. And you're probably saying to yourselves, yeah, and it shows this morning, Pastor. But have I studied enough, attended enough conferences? No, friends, not really. Shown enough compassion, shown enough earnestness? No, not really. Mission accomplished, question mark. No, not really. Second heading, we must not give up. Friends, we must not give up. Why? You feel you've earned your cup of tea, coffee, slice of cake after the service, after hearing that. So let me cheer you. Well, let me say to you, do not give up. Whoever you are, whichever church that you're from, however hard the work is in your own church, however difficult the going might be, don't give up. Not being the pastor from, say, Saturday midnight, Sunday midnight, next Lord's Day, No, it's not giving up. I'm going to be still preaching if God gives me breath, friends. I'm still going to be preaching. And I'm still going to be doing all that lies within my power to see the cause of Christ here in our nation further afield, as the Lord may open doors to see it progressed and to see it proceed. We should not give up. That's been a tragedy. I've seen men give up. I've seen them really give their church away, sell short, give in to the world's agenda, compromise on what's going on out there, what is attractive out there. Well, let's bring it in here. No, let's not. There's a book just come out in America, making waves there, mostly the American kind of a twist to it, but Shepherds for Sale is what it's called. Megan Basham has written this book, and John MacArthur is saying you should get it, you should read it. And, oh, what a story. And if you can say the new Calvinism, if you're aware of what that is sort of interwoven with this story of pastors who have really just bought in to the ongoing kind of cultural agenda. I've taken money, actually, from some very surprising sources, think tanks and progressive organizations who are no friends of the Christian church. And yet these pastors and preachers and influential people, some of whom I've named from pulpits in years gone by, are now being found out that they've been up to all kinds of things. They've given up somewhere there. Something got them. Something got hold of them. Power and influence and status, being well thought of. Well, friends, we shouldn't succumb to that. We must not give up. And we must urge the upcoming generation, urge our younger people, you fight the fight and you run the race. Don't you give up. You hold on to Christ. Because I tell you this, he's holding on to you more firmly than you'll ever know. And if you do wander a bit, I tell you this, he'll be holding on to you. And if you make some mistakes, I tell you this, he is holding on to you. He's not giving up on his people. Believe that. He's not giving up on us in our frailties and our weaknesses. And so we've got every encouragement to continue and to hold fast, to love the things that we love, to love the preaching of the word of God, to want to preserve God-honoring worship, to want to conduct our evangelism in a way that has biblical integrity. And then we look to God to bless it. We'll rather die and let him slay us rather than us not trust in him. We must not give up. Why, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we had our second reading there, didn't we? Well, just about every verse there, really, as you read it, you think, well, you want a sermon on that verse alone. But just to take there what we have in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the things that you've heard from me, writes Paul, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You can see the relay race there, can't you? You can see the baton being passed there. You can see there's Paul, his generation. And he's writing to a younger man, to Timothy, that generation, to get them up to pace, get them running, so that they can then prepare the next generation. It's said here, I don't know really how far to take this, but say when a pastor begins a pastorate, he should already be thinking about who follows, what next, how is this going to end. Well, okay, there is this thought, time passing, time being short, not knowing how your health will be, not knowing what circumstances may suddenly strike you. But whatever, we must encourage those who follow that they should not give up. Our new pastor, to encourage him and pray for him, to be around him as a source of encouragement, to press on. He's going to learn. He's never been in a pastorate before. It's an ordination and an induction come the 14th of September. We need to encourage him, pray for him, and urge him to stay faithful to these things. We think we have a good man, good preacher coming, and he deserves our love, our support, he and his wife Tracy, in the work that lies ahead. 2 Timothy, just staying there, chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. Here's one generation again declaring the works of God, proclaiming them to another. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. It says, holding on, keeping. There's the baton. Well, I don't look at it and think, I don't think I like this baton. I want to run with something different here. This is unexciting. This isn't interesting enough. I want to run my own kind of race, make up my own rules there. Well, Paul goes on, doesn't he, in second chapter to warn about those competing athletics. You're not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And of course, that's the rule of Scripture, isn't it? Scripture read as carefully as we can, comparing Scripture with Scripture, refining how we understand that truth, how that interrelates with that truth. And that is a lifelong work. But we must pray that the next generation, our own young people growing up in our midst here at Christ, but other young people serving in your churches there, young couples serving in your churches there, don't you give up. Don't stop. Don't hold back. We'll never get to heaven and be told we prayed too much, or that we cared too much about the Lord's work, or that we were too much taken up in prayer and Bible reading. You can be assured you won't hear that at the judgment seat, you and I, that day when we arrive there. So pray. Pray, yes, go parochial again for our new pastor here. I'm urging us all to do that. I'm urging myself to do that. And I trust we are already and have been doing that over the last months or so. Pray that he may be encouraged, that we may see that fruitfulness that's not quite happened yet, but may by God's blessing and sovereign appointing happen in the future. I've said to Darren, got your back, my friend. Don't expect too much from your new pastor or from his dear wife, Tracy. Do not expect him to be the complete, the finished article, to have a view, a perspective on every subject under the sun. Don't expect him to arrive here, understand everything, understand you, understand me, and just be able to get in there from day one. He's up to speed in many ways, and he's running well in terms of understanding this church, who we are, because he knows us already. He's been here preaching here for a couple of years, and friendships that we have all helped toward that end. But don't expect too much. Don't expect him to do everything, or to be this, or to be that, or to be following that story, or following that story. He's got a work to do, and I am very jealous for his time that he should be given to the word of God and to prayer. And I say, do not give up, because maybe you will agree with me. There are challenges ahead. There are challenges. There we are, some of us with our gray hairs. I don't know how many years God may still give life and breath to us. I look out and see some younger people, and I trust you're in good health and in vigor. Good, because you'll need that health and you'll need that vigor. There are challenges ahead, and I'm sure you've already worked that out. If you're just aware of what's happening, just aware, I'm sure, at work or college, university, in your schooling, that things aren't going right, are they, at all in our culture? And this summer, really, has shown us again the troubles that there are, and troubles that have been a long, long, long time in the making, and which now are coming to the surface in most ugly, most unhelpful ways. And you're there in the midst, and you've got, I trust, God will give you life, length of life, fruitfulness in life, and an ability to serve God in your generation to be able to stand amidst these things, to represent Christ, to speak for him, to have courage, to have faith in God, because the challenges that lie ahead, well, I won't weary you with them all here. You can fill in all the gaps, I'm sure, but challenges to free speech, and those are now quickening those challenges. The whole kind of global agenda. Well, there's a plug to come to the Bible study Q&A on Thursday over at Janet's. This nature of society, social media, the changes that it is bringing, rapidity of change, and the seriousness with which the people who have got other ideas, ungodly ideas, the money they have, power that they have, the determination that they have. Friends, I tell you, they put us to shame in terms of their determination. We've shown half their determination to hold the line and to stand firm. We would be, I'm sure, as churches further ahead than we presently are. So you need to be spiritually at your best. Be much in prayer. Younger people, be much learning. You master the Bible and have the Bible master you. You be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the days that lie ahead may be days that will require much of you. And as we pass on the baton towards you, and as we urge you to run, do. And that's when you perhaps come to stand in the place where I am now, or you've reached that period of life when perhaps you think that the greater bulk of your life is now behind you rather than ahead of you, that you will be ready to urge on the next generation in similar fashion. Final heading. We're part of something great. Okay. Could very much sort of underplay what we are, small churches, and we've often prefaced when we describe ourselves as a small, struggling church. Well, God has given us some new people the last couple of years, so take the struggling a little bit less than. There's still much, much that needs to be done. But wherever we are, whoever we are, whichever church, however big, however small, we're part of something great, actually. I think, though I was not here, predated my becoming the pastor here, and when it would be fair to say, and others of you who were there at the time, will say it was a difficult time. A previous pastor there really left very much under a cloud and left the church here under a cloud. And it was a difficult time. And a good friend. And if I use the name Alec Taylor, I know quite a few of you from Southampton there would say, oh yes, we know him. And I think it was a Thursday evening Bible study when maybe the church was really feeling very wounded, very sad, very low. I won't exaggerate it, but I think that would be fair to say, and friends will correct me later if I'm wrong on that. And dear Alec, who is now with the Lord, a pastor of many years, and a good friend, not only to this church, but just about every church I know. Good friend. But he was a good friend to this church when we, I think, needed a bit of encouragement, needed that little bit of help. And Alec, and I could also mention our dear friend Peter Holland, who also was a great friend, great help to us here from Stanton Leeds. But Alec, he gave a Bible study and he took Nehemiah. And a small company of, I would say, discouraged saints that were here then, he reminded them, as Nehemiah was reminded, and as he reminded others, we're about a great work. We're about a great work. And we can be very self-deprecating. We can say, well, who are we? Great, you say? Yeah, it is actually, it is a great work, the gospel work, representing Christ, preaching him to all. This is a great work. And never, ever underestimate that. Never belittle that. Never belittle ourselves. Small, struggling churches, not so small, not so struggling churches, but whoever we are, we're about a great work. That if you have a heart for your community, to preach to them, to reach their children, to proclaim Christ to them, if you have a heart to see built up within your own local church, loving fellowships, warm, Christ-centered fellowships. And I think we've got the authority of the Word of God. And were Alec Taylor still to be alive to preach this sermon instead of me, he would say, you're about a great work. You are serving the Lord. And we're just a small part of that. And it's important, isn't it? Just really as I'm doing here. And really as it grew on me over the last 4 or 5 years, as you just see yourself in perspective. It's just a very small part here. And much of what we're doing here is for future generations. Yeah. And it's ever been so, hasn't it? Here for that short season, but part of something great. And we're wanting, aren't we, to hand on to the next generation something that is as strong and evangelical as it lies within our power so to do, and to hold to that vision. I'd say that, oh, the vision, the hope that you have, hope I'd have to say, no, not fully realized, of what you long to see. Don't give up on that. That great work, God may yet. And it may even need more darker days for our nation. It may need some of those challenges that we can identify coming more strongly. Well, really, then we begin to see the things maybe my generation longed to see, didn't quite see, and maybe a future generation will see. And whatever we're doing, we could be part of that, building for something good in the future, building for a day when God will visit his people, when he will come to this nation, when he will take hold of our churches, revive us, bring us back to heat and fervency and all the things we read about in revival, friends, isn't it that? It's a great work. But although our part in it is but small, and though we would concede we've lived in a day of small things, one day there may be greater things. Oh, would that it were. That you younger people will live to see that greater things. God at work. The baptistry here being opened and your churches being opened and just seeing so much more happening. So today's small work, maybe part of tomorrow's greater work. And even if not, well, it is. If we endure to the end, well, there are promises there. And those are in 2 Timothy. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Well, if you die on that hill, upholding the word of God, you die on that hill, because I'm told here you're going to live with him. You're going to go to glory. Well, he'll live with you now. You know his power and his promise. And if we endure, okay, that bit of endurance, that reminding ourselves it's a great work, even if we're surrounded by opposition and indifference, well, the promise is there. We shall also reign with him. Because, of course, whatever we're doing, however small our part, wherever we fit in into the general scheme of things, it has an end, doesn't it? Because Christ is coming. Christ is coming. The day will come when our labor is finished. Our labor is done. This warfare that we fight against the sin, against the world, against the devil is completed. And we enter, don't we, then, into our master's joy. We come before the Lord who, when we see him, oh, we'll say, the half was not told us. The half, where are those preachers? They didn't tell us he was as good as this. But we will have that day still to look forward to. There we are in pilgrimage, however many years I have, however many years you have. May God give you many years. May he give our new pastor many years. It all has an end. There's a happy ending. Christ returns. The king comes back triumphant. And his people, those who are alive at his coming, meet him in the air. And those who fell asleep in Christ, well, there with him in his angel train. It has an end. One generation will be that last generation. They're holding the baton when they cross the finishing line. Happy generation, they. But we're as happy too. Those of us who've had to pass the baton on, see others now putting their energy, devoting their time particularly to this and running. They may be the ones who cross that finishing line. We've all been part of that story. Part of a great work, part of a great finish, part of that which, when our Lord returns, give him satisfaction. We want to be found that we're blameless at his coming, still running, still thinking of the next generation. There we are. We may be thinking about the end times on Thursday. That's your next plug for it there. Be there or else, you know. No, that generation, whoever that generation will be, they'll be running, building on our labours today and ready to meet with the Lord whenever that day should come. So may God bless us, each of us, may encourage us, the meetings at Stanton Lee's over the next couple of days. God willing, we'll be there for more of that. May he encourage all of you in your labour for him. Go on serving, that you'll pass on the baton too and declare his great works to the next generation. Amen.